13-1592, which is United States versus Poulin. And Mr. Hansmeier, last week I said that I hadn't seen you for a long time, so you've decided to come visit me every Monday and Friday, is that it?
Yes.
And how nice to see you, Mr. Hartzler.
I thought you chose to be on the
I would if I could. Okay.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Dan Hansmeier. I'm an attorney with the Federal Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois. I'm here on behalf of the appellant, Matthew Poulin. This case is a good reminder that there are actually three aspects of a criminal sentence in federal court: the term of imprisonment, the term of supervised release, conditions imposed during that term of supervised release. We've challenged every aspect in this case. I'm going to start with the term of supervised release, which was a lifetime term of supervised release. I'll start there because the government has conceded that that term should be vacated. In light of that concession, I don't have much to add.
Just go on to the next.
But I would note, and this is in our brief, and I want to note this because I think it's important. When the commission recommended supervised release ranges at the maximum, at that time, the maximum was 3 years. They since went up to life, and the commission has not done anything about it. But in the recent report to Congress, that was noted, and the commission indicated in there that they need to reconsider that portion of the guidelines. So I think that's important. When you look at the background, that these recommendations were made in light of a 3-year maximum, not a maximum of life. Moving on, the conditions of supervised release, there's also been concessions there. The government agrees that the no contact with minors condition is unsupported by the record. We agree with that. It should be vacated. The second condition we challenged was a ban on adult pornography.
Before you go on to that, I do want to ask you this. Did Dr. Nieberding actually rule out pedophilia? Or did he just say the evidence was insufficient to confirm it, which seems to me are two different things?
My understanding is that he ruled out pedophilia as a diagnosis. That's how I think the phrase was rule out. I might have that in the brief.
Don't worry.
It's been a while. But my understanding is that the report ruled it out as a diagnosis.
I'm trying to figure out how you're keeping all this separate in your head. Okay.
So the ban on adult pornography is essentially what happened there is there was this confusion about the legality of pornography. And so the government has conceded in light of that confusion, the condition should not stand. And we agree with that. And I think the remedy is simply, if the case has to go back for resentencing on the term of supervised release, it's not much to require consideration of these conditions.
Could Judge Mim legitimately reimpose the no pornography provision, given that Mr. Poulin became involved with child pornography by viewing adult pornography?
Right. That certainly would be the government's argument, I think. Is it a good argument? I guess Judge Mim could determine that. I think we have arguments against that. But the difficulty in this case is, this is from my office, but I didn't represent Mr. Poulin, so I don't know exactly. I didn't have those discussions with him about the conditions as his trial attorney did. And on remand, you never know what a client is willing to agree. I mean, there may be a provision the parties reach that the client is fine with. It's just an unknown, I think. But I think our position below was there's a difference between pornography and obscenity.
Well, that seemed to be what Judge Mim was driving at, even well, though that's not what he said, because there was much discussion of the Miller test and the rest of it. So I think
agree.
He was just using the wrong terminology.
I agree with that, and that's why in the opening brief I suggested that this court may be able to just modify the condition and instead of putting adult pornography, put obscene materials. I think I made that suggestion prior to the government's concession on all this, so I guess as a practical matter, it just makes sense if it goes back, just let him do it.
Right, and the government may want to argue for a blanket
right.
Prohibition against adult pornography, even though
right.
it's legal for free persons. It's not appropriate for this defendant on supervised release, whatever the term ends up being.
Correct.
Is a no pornography provision impermissibly overbroad or vague?
Trying not to answer your question. I think it's complicated. There are actually circuits who have held that a ban on adult pornography is too vague because the term pornography has gone undefined in the law. And I know there is a case, there are so many of these I have right now. One case actually discusses this, and I can't remember which one. But there's this sort of conflict within the circuits on whether it's permissible to ban pornography without being more specific, because there's actually a federal statute that sort of defines a class of materials that is prohibited, and so some courts refer to that language in the statute to make it less vague. And then there's also the idea that you just prohibit obscenity, not pornography. So I guess it's difficult because it's complicated. And that's why I say on remand it may just go away depending on what Mr. Poulin wants to do. I don't know if that's helpful, but that's basically where we're at on that we really don't know. So
do you agree that disagreement over the pornography or the confusion over it dealt with supervised release and not the underlying sentence?
Well, I don't. I agree that it came up in that context, correct. I guess my position is that I don't see how you divorce the two because again, this goes back to the idea that we're remanding this anyway, and I think I made this point in the reply brief. What if Judge Mim really was clearly he was confused, but what if that confusion did seep into the term of imprisonment and this court doesn't vacate the term of imprisonment? Then it just seems like in this situation where the case is going back, just send it back. There's confusion. Let him clear up the confusion. If it didn't affect the sentence, he can reimpose a 115-month term of imprisonment, and that's fine. But it seems odd to me to say that the judge was confused on this area. And there were comments made in the imposition of sentence as well involving the adult pornography, and that's what Judge Rovner just said, adult pornography leading to child pornography. It's problematic to me to say that's okay. I mean, in my mind, if you have, you know, two individuals who commit the same crime, but individual A commits that crime while committing another illegality, and say individual B does not, that individual A isn't more culpable. You know, if individual A steals my wallet while robbing my mother's house, and individual B just steals my wallet, I think we would say individual A is more culpable than individual B. There's a continuing course of conduct there. And I think the problem in this case is that our position is the district court is treating Poulin as individual A when he's really individual B. It seems like when you have this system set in place, especially in the federal system where you're talking about relevant conduct, grouping it all together, the bottom line is he was looking at adult pornography. Well, that's not illegal. The judge thought it was. That's a problem. The sentence should be vacated in its entirety. The allocution, this Bible verse, is just really frustrating. There's a good lesson to be learned here about
controlling your clients.
Correct.
I'm so glad you didn't say about not reading the Bible.
Yeah, no, you can do that. And again, it can be clarified on remand. Obviously, our position is that's problematic in and of itself. The government's whose fault is it theory is interesting. Our response to that is, well, he didn't exactly give him an opportunity to clarify anything. He sort of cut him off. Let's move on.
Is Mr. Poulin an intelligent person?
No comment.
No comment. Okay.
Can I answer that?
No, if you can't.
He's high school educated.
Okay.
I don't think you would consider him particularly bright.
Maybe he didn't understand the Book of Job.
I think that's a very accurate statement.
Or St. Stephen.
Right. So the last issue, I guess, is this failure to address the argument made below on the child pornography guideline. And if we get to that point, if the term of imprisonment is still in place and we get to that point, this is an interesting issue in that a lot of us thought it was dead before this court's decision, United States v. Martin, sort of drew this line between a broad attack on the guidelines and a specific attack under the particular facts of the case. So I think Martin sort of resurrected the argument in that if you have facts that are more sympathetic, you have a better argument. And I think that's what we have here. We have a no-contact offender, first-time offender. This is a plain vanilla child pornography case. There's no aggravating circumstances like you see in other cases. And so you do have the argument, and it was presented below. It was presented in the sentencing memorandum. I think it was 8 pages long. It was spelled out, discussion about how the enhancement apply in every case, how a contact offender's guidelines range actually ends up lower in certain instances.
He did get a below-guideline sentence, though.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the government's points. The government says, well, he did get a sentence below the range. I think on the record, the problem with that is that there were reasons Judge Mim gave for the below-range sentence. He talked about his difficult childhood, devotion to his son, his mental, emotional, psychiatric health, his education, his lack of criminal history. And the explanation did not touch on anything related to why the guidelines range is so high and why it shouldn't be as high. So I think if there were nothing else, it gets back to the question of was there a sufficient explanation? And if there wasn't a sufficient explanation for the principal mitigating argument, but there was an explanation for the downward variance, and they're two separate things, the fact you have one doesn't trump the fact that you don't have the other. So that is essentially the argument we've made. These types of errors can happen in the downward variance context.
Save some time for rebuttal because, I always give extra time, but I can't today.
Well, that's fine. I will try to limit my rebuttal time today, but I will stop now.
No, you all are to use whatever time you were given, but as I say, normally I give extra time, but I can't today. Hi, Mr. Hartzler.
Maybe we can help you out by not using all of our time.
No,
we'll
don't.
See.
Not to worry about that, but
let me address your question about the pedophilia. The report is sealed, but I think you'll have it and be able to see it. This is a psychologist's report. And the problem with the report is it does say that he ruled out pedophilia, but then the very next sentence says, quote, it was unclear from the available information if the defendant met full criteria for this disorder, both in terms of the potential duration of the reported attraction to pornography and something else. Potential ages of individuals depicted in the video clips. So it's ruled out, but then he essentially says, but there really wasn't sufficient evidence. So it's very unclear and unfortunate, and I'm not sure why he would issue a report like that. In terms of the condition that restricts adult pornography, I think, Judge Sykes, you were right on this in terms. I think that we will definitely ask for that restriction again, and I think the reason is in the record. This is a man that admitted that he started watching adult pornography regularly, and it evolved into an addiction to both adult and then child pornography. And yes, adult pornography is lawful, and that created the problem and the confusion in the record, but this certainly seems like an individual that ought to have that restriction. And we suggest on page 40 of our brief that...
I see you returning here.
I didn't hear you.
I see you returning here. I mean, it's a very difficult argument.
No, if we define it, if you define it as it is in the statute, to be material that depicts sexually explicit conduct as defined in 18 section 2256-2A, I think we'll probably be okay. Are you saying that there be a First Amendment issue here?
Yeah.
But that's not a problem for somebody who's on supervised release. They give up a lot of the constitutional rights.
Yes.
I think the cases are very supportive of the First Amendment restriction on somebody on supervised release. But I agree the problem is with the underlying sentence. A three-year below-guideline sentence, if we go back and get the same sentence, or probably any sentence, we'll be back here. And I think the record supports the three-year variance from the guideline range, and I think the judge adequately explained it. So I don't think the court should find that there's a Cunningham error here. Was it a fabulous explanation? Was it as exhaustive as we would all like? Well, clearly not. Is it sufficient? The thing I enjoyed is Mr. Hansmeier's reply brief that says the government has conceded based on this case, POETZ, Poets, where the court said we could maybe hypothesize a case where a below-guideline sentence such as that, but this is not the case. And I read that to mean it would be very difficult to come up with a case where it's a below-guideline sentence in which you find a Cunningham error. He reads it as saying, you know, we can see that there may be a case. And I thought that's what the court was saying. It's certainly a hypothetical possibility. But this is not the case, particularly in view of the circumstances and the judge specifically saying, I just don't see it the way you do, Mr. Defense Counsel, George Tassin. But I think that the below-guideline sentence of 115 months is appropriate, was explained adequately, and I hope this court will affirm that.
Mr. Hartzler, the fact that it was below guidelines doesn't absolve a trial judge from having to explain his reasons, of course.
No question about it, but the fact that it's below the guidelines suggests that there need be less explanation than an above the guidelines sentence.
It's still well above what the defendant was asking for, which is always often the case, but it was still well above the 5 years the defendant was asking for.
Yes, it was. Well, but Mr. Hansmeier explained... He read some of the explanation for the below-guideline sentence. It's just not as far below as they wanted. I mean, that's not there was an explanation for what the sentence was.
Well, I understand, but none of them dealt with the issue that was in the sentencing memorandum. There was about 6 pages in the sentencing memorandum that dealt with the issue of no contact with minors and the guidelines overstating being too high when there's no contact.
If you're looking for a concession that this wasn't an overabundant explanation, you've got it. Is it adequate? Well, that's of course, we're looking for guidance, and I'm hoping that the judges aren't required to go into the kind of exhaustive detail of 6 pages or 3 or 2 or whatever. The question is, did the judge address it? And I think it's clear from that one comment the judge made that he just didn't agree that the guidelines are that variant than from what they should be for this defendant. Obviously, that's the question. Was that adequate? Our suggestion is that, yes, it was, and the judge should not be required to be more exhaustive than that.
But he offered no explanation for why he was imposing a statutory maximum life term of supervised release.
That's right.
Okay.
There's no argument on that point. And
okay.
I think the problem with
I just want to make sure you're not backing off You're not backing off.
Oh, goodness gracious, no. No.
Okay.
No, I mean, that's a problem for this case, and I think that we're all learning it. We cite in our briefs Quinn and Goodwin. I mean, I think that in our district we're trying to improve, certainly in our office, how we handle these supervised release situations. We've got two more cases coming up here. This is sort of Dan Hansmeyer Day in the Seventh Circuit, because we've got the next two cases that deal with some of the same issues. I think that on this case, to find that there was a Cunningham error.
I want to think of it as Hansmeyer-Hartzler Day. Do you mind?
I thought that would be too immodest for me to say that, but thank you. Okay. I hope I answered all your questions. If there are no further questions, then thanks very much.
Thank you so much. Want to add anything, Mr. Hansmeyer? How much time? 2 minutes.
Well, I don't have to add much. I disagree that the comment he made had any. I have no idea whether it had anything to do with the argument or not. That's in the reply brief. I don't really need to get into it. But when you read it, the judge says something about, and that some comment you made, I don't know the exact context, and then makes this comment about the degree of variance. Can we read from that a sufficient consideration of the argument? I would hope not. On this point that the downward variance absolves the judge, to me that makes no sense, because if you're going to make that rule, what do you do with a sentence that is a one-month variance from the range? Does that absolve the district court from saying anything about it? It just seems like the point we're making is that this was a serious argument, an argument that judges across the country agree with. The last report indicated 70% of district court judges across the country think these ranges are too high. This wasn't some 70%. This wasn't some fly-by-night argument we made up on our own. This is a very serious argument about a guideline that has very significant problems. And in that context, it needs to be addressed, especially in this case where you have a non-contact offender with no criminal history. And like I said, this is a plain vanilla child pornography case. It just is. So why is our 5-year recommendation, what's wrong with that? And why is 9.5 years sufficient? And that's why we would ask the court to vacate everything and send it back.
Thank you so much. You want to stay there, or do you need to get your stuff?
I can be right back.
Okay. The case will be taken under.